I think I never did really truly understand the transfiguration and its importance and what it means until I started having to talk about it. And when you're sort of writing about it and talking about it, then you have to understand it. So, I don't think I understand even now the full significance of it, but let's give this a go. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good to be here.
Amen.
And that's what the disciples said, or what Peter said when he was there at the actual transfiguration. It's good for us to be here where Jesus shines. His robe's even whiter than those that you see on the television commercials that tell you your sheets will be whiter than white and cleaner than clean. It's good for us to be here in this radiant place. And I think when you come into St. George's, you can feel God's presence. You can feel Jesus and his radiance here. And I hope you can feel it in other places too, like when you're outside looking at the mountains. How blessed we are to be here with others who share what we believe, who know what we know. This blessed Transfiguration Sunday bursts into glory in our lives, and we catch a glimpse of the glory of God. It happened first to Moses, you know. He went up onto the mountain, Mount Sinai, and the cloud was covering it, and God was calling him, and he went up there, and on the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the cloud, and the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up. And he was there on the mountain for 40 days. And that 40 days is covered in about two chapters of the story of Exodus. And when we finally get to chapter 34, verse 29, it says this: Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He had the two tablets held in his hands. His face was shining because he'd spoken with the Lord. But he didn't realize that his face was shining. And so Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses. His face was shining, and they were so afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them. And so all the leaders of the community came to Moses, and they spoke to him. And after that, Moses used to have to wear a veil because his face was so radiant, so filled with God's glory, showing God's glory, that the people couldn't look on it. And here comes Jesus and his disciples in the district of Caesarea of Philippi. And he asked them, and this is in the chapter before what we read this morning, he asked them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "No, but I'm asking you, who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And I don't know whether he just sort of had an epiphany moment for them, because Peter often says the wrong thing, but he spoke the right thing this time. He said, "Well, I can see that you're the Messiah." And it was about 6 days later when Jesus took Peter and James and his brother John, and they went up on a high mountain by themselves, and Jesus was transfigured before him, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Jesus. I wonder what they were saying. I just have this imagination that they were saying, "Jesus, the last time we saw you, you were visiting Moses on top of the mountain." I don't know. And Peter said to Jesus, "It is good for us to be here. Do you mind if I take a selfie? Because they won't believe this when we get that down the mountain." And then he says some other things like, "I can build three shelters if you like, one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And Peter was still speaking when suddenly a cloud overshadowed them, And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Could it be any clearer? Here is the place in the Bible where God the Father says to the church, "Look, Jesus of Nazareth is my Son, my beloved. You don't need to wonder about it anymore. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to argue about his identity, nor do you need to ask questions about who among you recognizes him as the Savior. I want you to listen to him. That's what I, God, want you, the church, to do. Simple, one thing. Listen to him." And not only that, now that we've heard what God said to the disciples, and you and I are disciples today, this commandment, listen to Jesus, applies to you and to me. It doesn't mean just listen, just hear the words. It means listen. Take them into you. Obey them. Let what Jesus says to you change you. Change your heart. Change your worldview. Change how you see yourself. How you see yourself in relation to God. How you see yourself in relation to your brothers and sisters. How you see yourself in relation to your enemies. That's what we're supposed to do. Just listen to Jesus and let the words transfigure you. So, I just thought maybe we should be obedient to God this morning and listen to what Jesus says. So I'm just going to, for the rest of this sermon, read to you some things that Jesus said. "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Repent means turn around, face the other way. Stop walking the way of the world and start walking toward God. "Follow me." That's what Jesus wants you to do. Become one of his disciples. Follow him. "And I will make you fish for people." Huh. So we're to be his witnesses. We're to be people who share this good news that we've seen this transfigured Jesus. And that we are in the process of being made like him. "Blessed are those who are persecuted of righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before all people that they may see your good works and praise your heavenly Father." In other words, make Jesus famous because they see in you this Jesus, and they can tell that you are trying to act like he's acting. "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift." Reconciliation before giving praise and thanks and honor to God. And maybe because reconciliation is also a way of showing and honoring God. "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose a part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Make your yes say yes and your no be no. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't swear to this being true. Just let your word be so strong that people will know when you say yes, it means yes, and no, and it means no. And he said, other than that, it's all from the devil. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. He's saying, don't retaliate. Don't pay wrong back by doing wrong. Don't take revenge. Then he said this. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Ah, that's a hard one, isn't it? Love your enemies. But that's what God does. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But clearly beyond this, but this is God's word. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But this is clearly beyond my abilities, or I think most of your abilities too. But the essence of the command is this, to aspire to live with the kind of graciousness and generosity that is espoused by God toward his creation. Do not store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's not the right thing. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't worry about worldly gain or profits. Did you ever stop to think about how you might gain everlasting treasure? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Father in heaven knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all those things will be given to you as well. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me just take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Treat others as you would like to be treated. It's also known as the Golden Rule, isn't it? Perhaps the most famous of Jesus' commandments. Do to others as you would have them do to you. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. Don't look for shortcuts. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. What is the narrow gate? Perhaps to love others as you love yourself. To love God as you love yourself, and to love God even more than that. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off in some way or other. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who the preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit you or your emotions or your pocketbook. By the way, that was the translation of Matthew 7:15-17 from the Message. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy the body and the soul in hell. Or in the Message, don't be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, to your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, your body and your soul in His hand. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose or forfeit yourself? Be on guard against any kind of greed. Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, if my brother sins or my sister sins against me, how often should I forgive them? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, no, Peter, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times, by which Jesus actually meant there should be no limits to how often you forgive someone. And aren't you glad that's the nature of God? That you can mess up or do the wrong thing so many times, and if you turn to God and say, I'm sorry, I did the wrong thing again, you can never, never wear out God's forgiveness. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to serve, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not too long after that, Jesus would wash the disciples' feet. As Jesus heads toward his inevitable death on the cross, his disciples were growing increasingly concerned, even afraid, and Jesus encouraged them with the words, have faith, do not doubt. Invite the outcast. When you host a dinner or a banquet, don't invite only your friends, and your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors, but invite the poor, the amputees, the crippled, the blind. And he took some bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Father, said Jesus, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Not long after, Jesus died. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And when he met up with the disciples, this is what he said: "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." And then he told them, "This is what was written, that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." There you have it. 32 bits from the Bible. Things that Jesus said. Listen to them. Make them a part of your life. For further information about how you can hear more of what Jesus said and be obedient to your Heavenly Father and his command to listen to Jesus, consult your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in particular. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's like all of us have oppositional defiance syndrome, you know? We're just not going to do what you say. We'll listen to you, but then do the opposite. Help us with that, please. Help us to listen to the truth. Help us to listen to you. Help us to reform our lives that we might be more like you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.